The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4. It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better, with you. My life, it's better, with you. This is true, it's better, with two. My life, it's better with you.
I'm your middleist brother, Travis McElroy.
Are you ready for some football? Hey guys, it's me.
Football Bobcat Goldthwait.
No, mine. It's me. It's Bosafus. Hank Williams Jr.
Hank Williams Jr.
It's me, Hank Williams Jr.
Hank Williams quote Bosafus Jr.
Bosafus to Henry to my friends. Are you ready for some football?
How many names do you have?
I'm very worried about you, Mr. Williams. You sound like you're coming down with something. Have you been inhaling sulfur?
I am coming down with something. I'm coming down with football fever.
Is it?
I ain't ready for some football.
Is it now?
It's gonna be a party.
Mr. Williams, could you explain to Justin that he still has to record an hour-long show after this? He shouldn't fry his voice if you were doing anything.
Listen, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Let me sing my fucking song. Are you ready for some football?
Bosafus, to put this in terms that you can...
Just once, can I get through the fucking song?
I just want to warn you that just in football, like, terminology, this is just like the beginning of the first inning, and you don't want to blow out your treasure.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Are you ready for some football?
Why do you sound like Animal?
You know, I could stop doing the fucking voice a lot quicker if you let me get through my goddamn song once. Just once.
Will you get him next time, Gadget?
Are you ready for some football? It's gonna be a party! Gonna toss the gridiron around. Make sure everybody touches it. Because if all of your players don't touch the ball, then you're never going to win the game.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm inspired, Griffin. I'm inspired. Okay. Let's start with the Yahoo this time.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Whoa.
Is it opposite day? Let's start with the Yahoo this time.
This is fun. This is unprecedented. Also, you don't have the email open, do you?
I'm trying to finish ordering the pizza.
You're fucking going on a pizza adventure. No way. I'm going to sit here obstinately.
Let me zest my baby for a second while you do your dumbass show.
You zest your baby on your own goddamn time.
Yeah,
That's my favorite Dr. Spock book, by the way.
It's post 5 p.m. I am on my own goddamn time. I'm trying to feed my baby. Can you please just
trying to feed her delicious pizza?
I'm trying to get my baby delicious.
Listen, we're trying to get this baby flavor blasted in here, and Griffin's copying your swag.
Do you know how much focus it takes to be on the Pizza Hut website and order a full baby bottle of marinara?
Justin, I thought that you guys were breastfeeding marinara sauce.
It's genetically, it just didn't pan out for us.
Which celebrity would you like to stroke your hair if you were dying? You are lying on your deathbed and are about to merge with the infinite.
Mm-hmm.
You can summon any celebrity, living or dead, to stoke you hair as you fade away. Who would it be? Harvey Fierstein. Oh, sorry, that's not in there, but just like I just got so excited about my answer, but of course it'd be Harvey Fierstein. Griffin, you're dying. You're going to be with Jesus. Gonna be with Jesus soon.
Against all odds. Harvey Fierstein has outlived you.
I'll carry on your legacy. I'll tell the tales of your bravery.
Oh, wait, Griffin, I'm dying too. Can you stroke my hair?
Griffin. We'll do like a yin yang of stroking.
We'll do a hair stroking dying 69, Griffin.
You actually sound like the female frog woman from Rocco's Modern Life.
Thank you, Rocco, for coming in the path of that bullet for me. That mugger's assailant was coming for me, and you saved my life.
You're a hero, Griffin.
Oh, fuck. That would
You're
be
the
good.
Greatest man I've ever met. I'll never forget you.
It would be good for several reasons. One, I bet he's very, like, tender in that situation, but he has a good, like, bedside manner when somebody's
it's
shuffling
okay,
off.
Honey.
That's why I can hear him say, it's okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's okay.
You're going to be at peace.
It's hard to say shh in a Harvey Firestein voice.
It just sounds
like a malfunctioning robot.
Also, I feel like after like a few minutes of it, I would just sort of be ready to just like not hear it anymore. To just be like anywhere else, including the infinite that I'm about to merge with.
I think Tommy Lee Jones would shame me into coming back to life.
Oh, shit.
What do you think you're doing? You're trying to fall asleep to die. You're ready to die now. Come back to life.
Coward. I should have known that.
Coward.
I should have known that this question was going to surface the fact that we're fucking bad at impressions.
I don't know really? What you're talking about. We are nailing these. Now, what if Tim Curry was there stroking your head?
Griffin.
The impression all three of us can do, slam dunk.
Griffin, I brought you a fresh cheese pizza.
It's full of adrenaline.
How'd you do that?
I'll shove it straight in your heart, Griffin.
See, you met my faithful St. Peter.
All that would be good. I bet I would do Channing Tatum just because I'd like to like hang out with him.
The one thing that we're not addressing here is it's great to meet these awesome celebrities, but who's going to be the best one at stroking your hair? You know what I mean? Because I think Channing Tatum is going to end up being pretty lazy about it.
Yeah, and he would like do like a bro laugh.
Yeah.
And that's
he's not going to make you feel comfortable.
I want to be soothed. How about this? Let me hit you guys with this. Dolly fucking Parton.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's very good. I would do that today. I would do that today. I would die today if I could get Dolly Parton to stroke my hair while I shuffle.
Can I say somebody who I think would be surprisingly good would be Jon Favreau? I feel like Jon Favreau.
You know
would be
what? Yeah, because he makes it special.
He does. You know, he makes everything a little fun.
You watch Zathura, and you think like this is going to be like a dumb space Jumanji ripoff, some Dax Shepard action. But then you know what happens there at the end? They make it kind of special, don't they?
They do make it special.
What do you guys think about this, Ving Rhames?
Damn. Ving Rhames. Yeah, probably surprisingly tender. I mean, he's no Michael Clark Duncan, who would have been a fantastic.
Well, this says you can summon any celebrity living or dead. So, oh my God, how good. Okay,
Jesus.
Game over. Well, no.
I'm going to summon Jesus.
Yeah, of course. Jesus. Hey, what's up? Where am I? You're in a hospital. I'm dying. Cool. So, did you need anything? Yeah, can I get in heaven? I guess. Sure. Cool. Boop. Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, I should have asked him to keep me from dying. Too late.
Plugging in an electric heater. Am I here, cats? Boy, that must have been a jarring moment for the cats, too. Like, this is the entity that is charged with keeping us from dying. This is our lot in life.
You think the cats are sitting there from the door going, no, don't plug it in. Oh,
what are
God.
You doing? Idiot. It powers out.
Idiot.
No, come on.
You know what I would have done to keep those kitties warm?
What?
This is snuggled them.
Snuggle them. Well, one of Justin's cats is snuggle averse.
I've never touched one of Justin's cats. I don't think anybody has. This has been kitty talk.
This has been kitty talk. We're talking about our little bitty kitties. My kitty. Welcome to the Little Bitty Kitty Committee. I'm Justin McElroy. I'm Justin Meowcaroy, and I love my kitty.
I'm Griffin McElroy, like a growl, because my kitty's like a lion.
I'm Travis McElroy.
My workplace has become prank central.
All the kitties getting into mischief.
Kitties getting into milk and mischief.
Where did all my sardines go?
My work
and also all of my accounts. Oh God, they cleaned me out.
Yeah, the cat liquidated me.
This Yahoo was sent in by level 862 shaman, Drew Davenport. And yes, he leveled up this week because he fucking crushed it this week. Thank you, Drew Davenport. This might be an all-Drew episode, spoilers. It's by Yahoo Answers user James, who asks, when a caterpillar is making a cocoon, does it know it's going to become a butterfly? Or is it just like, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Okay, wait, I'm confused by the question.
What am I even doing right now?
Do they mean while it's making the cocoon, is it going, what the fuck is happening? Or do they mean like the caterpillar's going, I got nothing to do. I'm just going to stay inside my weird shell thing.
But see, that's the thing. It's never made a weird shell thing, right? They just do that the one time, right? They can't switch between butterflies and caterpillars at will. They're not fucking like lycanthropes. They just do it the one time. So they're just like up in a tree. And then all of a sudden, I imagine it is somewhat similar to the first time that you discover ejaculate. And then that starts happening. And then all of a sudden you're in it and you're like, wait a minute. What am I even doing right now? What is this?
It's all over me.
Why did I do this?
It's got to be confusing as shit to be a caterpillar and be like, I was supposed to hang out with Steve today. I went over to his place and there was just like a weird hangy shell thing.
Yeah. I don't understand that. Wait, what am I doing with my butt right now? What am I doing with my butt? What does this mean?
Dad?
Dad?
Flap, flap, flap.
Yes, flap, son? Flap.
It's got
to
be.
If you're a dad butterfly, you've got to be like, I don't know. Never happened to me.
I'm born a little like this.
Whoa, you must be like crazy. Super sick or something. I've never seen.
We got to get to the bug doctor.
Or just say like, I'll see you in 6 years. I've got to be in this thing for 6 years. Yeah, you'll probably die in there. Goodbye.
That shit's got to be crazy.
Wouldn't it be great? Just the very idea of that. Like, if human beings for the first like 30 years looked one way and then went to sleep for like 2 years and they woke up and they were like birds and everybody was just like, yeah, that's normal. That's just how it. That's
but
what
we
you do.
We have the internet, right? Like as soon as a silken thread emerges from the tip of my penis, I can very Web quickly MD. Be like, Siri, web's coming out of my penis. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? She's like, chill, Griffin. Chill, boss hog. Cause that's what I told Siri to call me. Chill, boss hog. It's going to be cool. You're cocooning and pretty soon you're going to come out. And this is what you're going to look like. And I'm going to go awesome. Caterpillars going, got Siri. They don't. They just get up in a tree, silken thread. And that's got to be so scary.
Is it possible we're giving the caterpillars too much credit that maybe like it starts coming out and they just go, okay, I'm down. All like, right. Whatever. Fuck it.
I guess this is my day now.
Sure. Caterpillars, really the most easygoing insect.
I'm apparently the Matthew McConaughey of bugs.
Yeah, cool. Whatever.
All right.
You know, yesterday I tried an oak leaf for the first time. Today I'm going to be trapped in a weird thing that came out of my butt. Sure, whatever.
I listened to fusion jazz for the first time.
I tried Cuban food.
I did
very
hate
spicy,
it.
But I liked
very
it.
Spicy.
I did not right. hate it. Mm.
So I'm down for the adventure. You know what I mean? Let's just see what happens.
Do you think? I've never seen a butterfly come out of a cocoon. Actually, you know what? I think I have seen a video of a butterfly coming out of a cocoon and they fly away. How the fuck does that happen? Explain that to me, science, because it's not like you get wrapped up in a cocoon, silk comes out of your butt, you're wrapped up in a cocoon, and then when the silk is done coming out of your butt, a caterpillar book comes out of your butt that says how to fly.
You want it to be more like Greatest American Hero, like without the manual, they're just flying around, slamming into trees.
Or just fall. They just fall.
Don't you think statistically there has to have like at least once that a caterpillar went into a cocoon and then the cocoon opened up and he was still a caterpillar and he was just like, ah, damn it.
Must be such a bummer when you're find out you're a butterfly. You're flying around. That's great. And then you're like, so what do I eat now? It turns out it still leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm almost certain it's like a juice of some sort, the juice of the flower.
Oh, they eat like pollen and dung and tree sap and rotting fruit.
And human beings,
other butterflies. We don't know anything about bugs or anything. I guess
even bugologists are like butterflies, man. They're crazy.
They're crazy.
I bet there's an entomologist listening to our show got like really excited. And then really sad.
I've been waiting for this butterfly moment this whole time. I thought they
talk about something I care about.
They had that one episode where they talked about the Ashton Kutcher film, Butterfly Effect, and I thought that was going to be my moment, but very little of that discussion was based on the physiology of butterflies. Here we go. Time to buck up. Oh, I'm dead now. One time I went on a second date to see the film 127 hours. I forget how many hours that man was trapped between those rocks.
It was a bunch of hours.
I think it was 127 hours. And I actually did throw up in my mouth while I was watching the movie. And it was super, like, if you're going to throw up in your mouth, I did it probably as smooth as you could do it. But yeah.
It was like 2 hours in.
He was like chewing through his own bone veins. And I was like, whoa, hold up. That's fucked up. But I didn't know you had bone veins. And homeboy was like, going to Golden Corral on those motherfuckers. And so I threw up a little bit in my mouth, literally. I know that's a thing people say. It can happen to you while you're watching 27 hours. And
Jane,
thought I played it off real smooth, but we didn't see each other again.
Jane, if it makes you feel any better, the first girl I ever actually dated, our first date was bowling with her family.
Be cool, you guys. Be cool. Be cool. Opening out for the first time ever.
And
I didn't even know
our
this.
Second date was seeing Bridges of Madison County.
Nice. I can top that. I can top
wait,
that.
Wait, I can
not,
top that.
Wait, okay, not wait. A joke. I spent the, what felt to me, 5 hours and 30-minute running time of Bridges of Madison County putting my arm around her. So, literally.
Show me on Travis.
Yeah, even if you had time lapse, it would look like this. I mean, literally, this is accelerated, right? Like 5 hours elapsed in about 30 seconds. By the fucking time she was swept away by fucking Clint Eastwood.
Spoilers!
Okay, sorry. By the time the credits rolled, she would have sworn with her hand on the Bible that my hand had always been on her shoulder. That was the speed at which
this has always been there, will always be
Justin's
there.
Justin's hand? I think it was there when I was...
There was moss connecting your right. hand and shoulder.
There was, I went on a first date to see The Notebook.
Okay.
And I no wept. Fresh, I wept like a baby.
Yeah.
And she did not.
All right.
And I chose to never see her again because she was a robot.
Bounce this off you. First date I went on with this with a young lady who we were in, God, fuck, like middle school. And it was also my first date ever. We went to see The Prince of Egypt. The animated movie with Donny Osmond. Got laid. To get you laid.
So, I guess what we're saying, Jane, is did that help?
We're saying you could have fucked up so much worse.
Yeah, than way worse.
This was like,
He didn't deserve you.
Yeah.
You're way better than that.
You said I made love on a cat on a patio.
Well, that was my favorite Jimmy Buffett song.
Say.
And my favorite scene from Garfield Tale of Two Kitties.
stay put, Fluffy. Dad's almost done.
Do you think that's what Cheeseburger in Paradise, that song is about? Is that Jimmy Buffett was starving to death on a family vacation he didn't pay for, and then a miracle burger just appeared on his naked chest?
Just floating. Floating in the air. He had to chase it down the beach.
It's not your time, James.
Cheeseburger to paradise.
Cheeseburger I found in the trash. With my in-laws, leftovers, half of a burger, some old French fries, and half of a cake. It's just a cheeseburger I found in the trash.
Cheeseburger or else I'll die.
I like mine before the maggots get to it. Next to the ketchup, but not next to tampons.
Culture of fear.
None of that is in the garbage. Oh well, it's just a.
Cheese tamponi in paradise.
Can't be too picky when you're close to the edge.
Jimmy, I don't think we can release this song.
Use your imagination to just get it down.
Hey, Jimmy, could you come to my office real quick? I want to talk to you about your latest single.
Yeah, well, there's sandwiches there. They're probably not going to be.
Yeah, it turns out it's the most popular song ever.
We can't keep it on the shelves.
It's uniting the world like wild stallions.
He had to travel 800 years in the future to pin cheese tampons in paradise. What happens, though, when a vampire bites a werewolf?
I think the werewolf goes, what the fuck?
Whoa. But does he gain...
So, okay. Most of the mythology I've seen is that a vampire has to feed on you and you have to feed on a vampire. Mm-hmm. And normally, you wouldn't think that a werewolf would do this, but you would have to assume a vampire bites a werewolf. They're locked in combat, correct? Mm-hmm. We can all agree... Vampires and werewolves.
Look
in
your hearts.
Watch fucking Vampire Diaries or Twilight or any of our home movies. You'll see vampires and werewolves are bitter enemies. So the vampire has bit the werewolf. The werewolf has probably bitten the vampire.
69 in. Doing a little
60. I want to hear Griffin's story now. You're out.
You're out. Justin, tag me in. 60 bite? Is that a thing?
Start at the beginning and talk slow.
Well, it's not, they're not really slower. 60. They're not really 69ing. It's just, you know, you do a double neck.
They're 16, 69ing.
Oh, shit.
Because they're eternal.
I figured it out.
Nothing?
Nope. It's fair. They bite each other on the necks, mm-hmm. same time. Boom. Right? And then they. What? So, what? What's your addition? Do you know? You saw
whisper.
The answer?
No, he's saying whisper. Make it.
Oh, you want me to whisper my answer?
ASMR this time.
ASMR
it.
ASMR.
I guess we'll ASMR this thing.
I need complete and utter silence.
So,
or I can't finish.
But you can't fucking laugh. You do a bite 69. And they both just suck that.
Shut up!
Be cool.
We're never going to get a
Be
YouTube
cool
smash
seconds.
Hit.
They both sucked that monster fluid out so hard. And then, but they both suck all of it out. All of a sudden, the vampire's a werewolf. Werewolf's a vampire. They fucking switch all their fluids around. They do a complete fluid rotation. Vampire's a werewolf. Werewolf's a vampire.
Oh, so not like a vamp werewolf or were vampire.
No,
they're
I'm
like
saying
they switch places.
A complete 100% fluid transaction.
Do you think we could
total
make
monster
no,
conversion?
No, I need you to look at Griffin's face and how happy he is about this.
Just think about it. First of all, why's the werewolf sucking blood? That's not his MO.
He's thirsty. What do you want from him?
This is Cinnamon by Level Billion, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user Master Ahmad, who asks, can anyone tell me who invented hatred? I mean, in other words, which specific individual that created invented the idea of hatred in the first place?
It's Cain.
The answer is the devil.
It's Cain.
That's actually the top... top answer on Yahoo Answers. So thank you, Travis, by which I mean Travis, by which I mean Yahoo Answers user Wooferduff, who provided that answer for Cain. Is that really where it came from? Like, biblically speaking, Cain was like, ooh,
I'm going to get that, Abel.
Yeah.
And they were kind of they were very much like a Roadrunner and Coyote kind of thing.
So nobody up to that point, like, it fucking...
There were only three other people.
Right, but Abel, like, fucking kicks Abraham in the shins because he's a shitty little kid, and Abraham's like, thank you, I guess.
Abraham wasn't there, Griffin.
Yeah, it was Abraham, Father Abraham, Cain, uh-huh. Abel.
Uh-huh.
Adam.
Uh-huh.
Not Steve, though. That's important.
I've always found this story confusing because I remember being in church camp, and the guy, the youth pastor, made a big deal of, this is the first murder in the Bible. This mm-hmm. is the root of murder, mm-hmm. Cain and Abel. And then as I was walking back to my dorm room, probably to masturbate, I thought to myself, you know what? He's also the first person to die, which must have been a trip for Kane.
Whoa, wait, what?
Whoa, hey, Bell. I hit him really hard, and now he's not getting up.
I just like,
hey, Bell, get up.
I like hit him with a rock as a fucking goof. Like, what the fuck?
I even said heads up when I did it. It was supposed to be like a thing.
Abraham, yo, Abel's like stopped. Abel, like, stopped.
There's
What's
not even
up?
A word for it.
Is there a word for this? He just stopped. I broked it in.
You know what? I had an Abel, but I braked him. What happened?
I've never thought about it, but it's like Edison, Einstein, Kane. He invented death.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
And hatred.
I don't know how much more we're going to goof on this, but Griffin, do yourself a solid and stop referencing Abraham, because you're exponentially increasing the number of tweets you're about to receive from the Venn diagram crossover of biblical scholars and my brother, me listeners. Please just go get a life skill.
It's a great website, great service, Justin. I do need to know if Teen Google is taken and if you're going to buy it and if it's going to read
and
it.
And if it's a weird porn site.
Excuse me, time out. I just bought Teen Google.
That's the best one yet.
Best day of my life.
We're going to be rich.
I can't believe this.
Oh man, we are going to make that. Rich. We are going to make that redirect to the Mbim Bam website for a long time until Google buys it from you for $55 million.
We'll be rich.
Oh my god, so worth it.
How much was it?
Cancel the show. I can't even deal with this show anymore.
No, we're the owners of Teen Google. We're rich.
How's the owner of Teen Google supposed to worry about making a comedy podcast?
Have you tried Teen Google? Well, it's time for Extreme Teen Google.
I feel like in another browser window, I'm winning the lot. Like, I'm in the process of winning the lottery. Like, I can't even focus on this show right now. I'm the owner of Teen Google.
How can I cool hit play for teasing?
Doing jokes about ghosts and boaters and shit when I'm the web domain master of Teen Google. I can do anything with that URL. That's my fucking meal ticket. And you are all here for it. Oh, man.
Do we need to pause the podcast so you can call Sydney and like tell her about the amazing reversal of fortune you've experienced?
It's like sobbing. Like, honey, you'll never guess.
It's all happened.
You'll never guess. In 6 months, we're going to be in a protracted legal battle with Google.
It's all we ever dreamed.
It's everything we ever wanted.
Oh, God.
Taken to the cleaners by Google.
Oh, Christ.
Okay, so it's time for you to try NatureBox for free. For free. Maybe you don't own Teen Google. Maybe you can't afford a free box of snacks. We get it. Not everyone's the owner of Teen Google. Just go to naturebox.com/mybrother. And even non-Teen Google owners like you can try free snacks.
Normies is what we call them.
Just go to naturebox.com/mybrother. Now, peasant.
Brothers, please go to teengoogle.com.
Oh, Christ. What a good, it looks good. Yeah, and there it is. It looks good in the search bar. It look that's a good looking URL.
It looks exactly like what it is.
What I need to do is I need to turn on masking. I need stealth redirection.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, what's the list so far? We got My Smooth Face, Teen Google, of course. I feel like you bought one very recently.
Let me see what I have.
It's bad that you, I think you have a compulsion because you own too many.
I have boobooNanny.com.
BooBooNanny.com.
These largely go to my brother, me. BooBooNanny.com, FartPatrol.com, GriffinSpaceJam.com is a different website that we also own, but GriffinSpaceJam.com, MySmoothFace.com, and now, welcome to the family.
to the my brother, me family of products. If anybody ever says the words mbmbam.com to me again, I will spit in their face.
It's not a web address.
That website does not even exist anymore. This is not a test. Get to this goddamn
special page. You're going to love it.
There's a comic for all of us.
Let's now, this is not safe for work.
This is a grown folks website for grown folks.
This is for grown folks only, but you're going to love it. All the comics are so positive and it's so great and everything is so great. This landing page. So good.
You're in for a treat. Listen, again, seriously, though. This is horny stuff.
This is horny stuff, y'all.
This is really horny stuff.
If you got
this is grade A horny material.
If you got Net Nanny, she is going to throw down several flags over
this.
Over
is this NSFW,
website.
Like teengoogle.com.
Right. Well, no, Teen Google isn't necessarily.
No. We've been getting a lot of tweets and emails from people that apparently teengoogle.com gets blocked by a lot of Net Nanny-esque sites.
People can't check
Teen Google at work.
Net Nanny has probably also listened to the show before, and she probably knows the foul nature of our doings.
Slipshine.net/MBMBAM. Go right now. After you masturbate to that, you'll be hungry. You know what? Oh, okay.
This is a great show I'm enjoying.
This show, what are you listening to? Ass today.
This show kicks ass. This show, the same show as the listeners listening to.
Oh, really?
My brother and me.
You know, I've heard it's really gone downhill.
No, it hasn't. Actually, that's a popular misconception. I heard they don't make it anymore. They do.
They do. Oh, yeah? They make it. Yeah. You're hearing it now.
Well, actually, this is a best of clip show, so... You're not really, we're not, oh, this shit. Isn't proof good that we're still trap. Making it. And if it's good, it's old good. So,
yeah, but you know what? These shows, these best of clip shows, you're only hearing our voices, but you wouldn't hear these come together without our staff, like Rachel and Amanda working behind the scenes to pull together great clips from the show for you to enjoy.
But you know who we don't talk enough about?
What's
Jorb?
That?
Those two people.
No, Jorb. I want to talk about Jorb, who does Jorbin. All of our shipping. Is it short for Jorbin? See, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know. I know so little about him, and he does all of our shipping for us. And
well, he's eight feet tall.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them he can reach.
Yeah, he can reach. He can reach. We put him on the shelves, and then the shelves grow.
No, I mean to houses. There's a lot of houses he could just reach. He doesn't even need to.
Jorbin goes door to door to ship our stuff.
He doesn't need to. He just reaches over.
He just reaches over with his big arm.
And he's got massive chucking speed, so he can like.
He throws so fast.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen his trading card. I know what his chucking speed is.
What is this ad even for?
Well, it's about stamps.com, and I was trying to talk about Jorb, our shipping boy. Who does our shipping for us, and he uses stamps.com to handle all of our heavy shipping.
He's 12 years old.
Wait a minute. We gave him a job, and his answer to that is to hire stamps.com to do the shipping for him?
That's what I'm saying. We don't appreciate it.
Jorb is a middleman.
He's a jobs creator, Justin. He's a jobs creator.
He's a jobs creator. He's 12 years old. He's 8 feet tall. He's 100% at his job.
A mountain of a man.
16 foot well, vertically.
Yeah, a mountain so of a boy, really, if we're
stamps.
Being honest.
Stamps.com. All
full
you
beard.
Need is a computer.
Full
you went too
beard.
Slow. With stamps.com, all you need is a computer and printer. They even send you a free scale.
And a jorb.
So they'll send you a jorb and a free scale, so you'll have everything you need to get started. They have
no jorbs.
Huge.
Well, jorbs limited time.
Yeah, jorbs only while supplies last.
They got huge carrier discounts up to 84% off USPS and UPS shipping
that's
rates.
That's wild.
For no, huge carriers wild. Like Jorb.
For huge boys. Plus, stamps.com automatically lets you... Plus stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest shipping options. That's great. I don't want to look around for that shit. I'm busy.
I'm very busy. So you can make time, though. Set your business up for success when you get started with stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code MYBROTHER for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code MYBROTHER.
I want to tell you guys about a competing podcast to ours.
Why? Wow.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I know it's a weird thing, but basically, I just felt like we could throw them a bone once in a while. There's all these podcasts that are just starting out there, and I feel like we could do a little bit more to support them. So I want to tell you about Comedy Bang Bang. It's a brand new podcast that started in 2009.
I heard of that.
Yeah, it's hosted by Scott Aukerman.
A year before us. We don't even have longevity on this show.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how you think about time.
Certainly. Nobody's done more episodes of a podcast than us at this point, right? This is so many episodes.
It's got to be, right? For every one Comedy Bang Bang episode, there's three My Brother, and Me.
The copy here says it's one of the longest running comedy podcasts out there, as if like it's not also... Like, we're not also, like, that's a plus for you, I guess. I guess if you like listening to old comedy podcasts, you wouldn't be here, right?
Right, exactly.
You like relics of
men. You know what? Let's go ahead and
try to do jokes.
Let's just, Comedy Bang Bang has paid us to talk about their thing. Let's do it in the most effective way possible by narrow casting to the one person who listens to our show and hasn't heard Comedy Bang Bang. What's up, Tyler? I know you've been waiting to give Comedy Bang Bang a try. This is it, Tyler. This is the time. It's the perfect time to jump back in or in for the first time. They got Scott Aukerman. Funny guy. Man.
Funny guy. Tall, I believe.
Tall. Funny
Eight
man.
Feet tall, and he brings in a fun cast of characters. I don't know why I said that. I mean, it's people.
You said it in such a bad way, you made it sound bad.
A real cast of characters. Gallery.
And you know what? You know what? If you like shows that turned into TV shows for a while, and then we're also continued to be podcasts.
We've got it
for you, because Comedy Bang Bang, yeah, it was a TV show for a while too, just like us.
They have a lot of zany characters on there, played by comedy favorites, some of whom I know in real life, and many of whom I pretend to know to people who have no way of double checking the information.
Yeah. Like
Bob Tompkins, Andy Daly, Matt Gourley, and Bobby Moynihan.
And you know, here's the thing, everybody, you have no way of knowing if I know Andy Daly or not. You cannot prove it one way or the other. Unless he's done some terrible stuff, which I don't think he has. But if he's done some terrible stuff, I don't know.
Don't know.
Never. I've never fucking met him in my life. If he hasn't, best friends.
They got big guests too: Jay Farrow, Sharon Horgan, Andy Samberg, and Zach Galifianakis. Big gets
Sharon Horgan's name wrong. I thought it was Sharon Hogan. I've been saying that out loud to anyone who would listen.
That's why she doesn't come on our show.
Hey guys, hey listeners,
this is getting even more confusing because they get new episodes
Monday.
Of Bang Bang,
do you like Monday shows? Do you like Monday shows?
Do you like old Monday podcasts that was a TV show for a minute?
Good news.
Good news. Yeah. It's good Comedy news. Bang Bang.
Now, here's how you tell the difference. Has Paul F. Tompkins ever been on their show? This is like one of those branching decision trees,
yes.
Right? Where it's and like, it, does it come out Monday? Is it old?
Hey, listener, if you've been listening to this show for a while, or if you even have a passing familiarity with us, every fiber of your body is telling you that Paul F. Tompkins must have appeared on My Brother, Me at some point.
No, it almost seems like it's a beef thing.
Yes,
but
yes. What?
It's not. It's just either.
It's an impossible beef thing. It seems like beef, but it's not.
It's not. Beef.
It's not. But hey, listen. You should give this podcast a try. If you've never listened to it, it could be overwhelming when you listen to a show that has a bunch of episodes. Just hop in and get on board. Get on the wave. Don't wait for the wave to invite you on.
Start the wave.
Get on the wave.
You are the wave. It's 2023. Sun and sea. Surf the vibe. Be the wave. Start the wave. Dive in. Dive into Scott Aukerman. Dive into Scott Aukerman today.
Pry him wide open and hop inside.
This is the longest.
Like, take him like, first. Like, they have gotten their Hoth. Fucking like, money's worth on this one.
Like,
huh,
you're
boys?
On the ice planet Hoth and you're freezing to death. Slice open Scott Aukerman. Climb inside. He's not bad on the outside. But keep yourself warm. Don't freeze to death by sleeping inside Scott Aukerman today.
Is this an ad swap? Because there is no way they are giving us a 4 minute long.
Fair.
like one act play, right? Yeah. There's no way. There's probably awkward at the end, like, anyway, my brother would be mine. No. I'm sure he's giving us the real.
No, you can talk shit, good. Man.
No, it's fine.
Talk shit.
Talk shit about Scott Aukerman.
I don't know, Justin. Aukerman.
You know what? Fuck Scott Aukerman. Justin's right.
Hold on.
More like cool. Scott Fuckerman.
Come on, Trav.
Scott Donkerman.
Get him.
They're all great. Just my brother. Just listen to Comedy Bang Bang on every
or
Monday.
Or fucking
tell
don't.
To listen to My Brother, My Brother and Me.
I almost did say listen to My Brother, My Brother and Me.
Kick ass.
This is great. We're ad swapping with ourselves now.
Oh, cool, okay. Guys. Scott actually just came to my door and delivered the check for $100,000 for this great ad. So
we can stop talking now. Okay, great.
Bye.
Stop Talkerman.
Thank you. The following pro wrestling contest is scheduled for one fall. Making their way to the ring from the Tights and Fights podcast are the baddest trio of audio, the hair to beware, Danielle Radford.
It really is great hair.
The Brit with a permit to hit, Lindsay Kell.
The queen is dead. Long live the queen.
And the fast-talking, fist-clocking Hal Upland.
See, I can wrestle and be an announcer.
Get ready for Tights and Fights.
Listen every Saturday or face the pain.
Find us on Maximum Fun. Now ring the bell.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
I have a new feature I'm bringing to the show. This is a haunted doll watch.
Justin texted us at 2 in the morning with this idea that he was so psyched about.
So psyched about Haunted Doll Watch. This is my feature that everybody can hate. Haunted Doll Watch. Boop, 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 boop. Live for eBay. Just to set this up for you guys, I have a little bit of information about haunted dolls. This is from Miss Lady on eBay. In an article titled, What to Expect from Your Haunted Doll. Hello, this is Miss Lady. Yes, I am a collector of paranormal items, dolls in particular.
Oh, Christ.
I guess a part of me buys the items for curiosity to see what will happen. Also to hope that there would be some particular activity to convince non-believers in my household that these things exist. For whatever the reason to buy these items, there are some things to consider. I've purchased a few dolls. And notice these items, some things do occur. First, I used to buy my items from individuals who would sell many other haunted items. From most of these, I've noticed no paranormal activity.
Well, yeah, because I've encountered exactly zero haunted items in my lifetime. There aren't people that just naturally come across 300 that they sell on bulk on Amazon Prime.
Be wary of the seller who has hundreds of haunted items. Let's be real. Who can actually acquire all these things?
Fuck me. Does that really say that in the next sentence?
Literally the next
The fucking singularity has occurred.
I hate to say it. You could purchase a doll and the item wasn't really haunted, just the item next to it was.
Wait, what? Whoa.
So okay, you get a doll, right? You think you have a haunted doll, mm-hmm. And it turns out that like the desk it was on was haunted the whole time.
The house was haunted. Ugh.
Damn it.
It's way this mess. Or, I hate to say it, you purchase the item that is haunted and the spirit eventually leaves. Yes, it has happened to me.
Wait,
I don't know if
why does she hate to say it? Like, I hate to say it. Sometimes the spirit leaves.
But my whole life is so shitty that a ghost in a doll pops into my house and is like, this place sucks. Bye.
Oh, Justin, my favorite line in it. I like antique dolls because there are more chances of it having actually acquired that energy because it is so old.
That's true.
Because it bumped up against so many ghosts, I guess.
Well, no, a new doll, you go to the Build-A-Bear workshop, that is a 100% no haunting guarantee. I would say if you don't want to get a haunted toy for your child, Build-A-Bear workshop is the only game in town where you will get that 100% guarantee because you see the manufacturing process. From start to finish. There are no ghosts. You pick the color, you pick the felt, you pick the stuffing, you stuff it.
It does
no ghosts.
Depend on whether you put a toy heart or a human heart in it.
No, don't do the second one. And the box that says haunted, do you want this one haunted? We can shoot it with a ghost ray. You check no on that, and you know for sure. But an old doll, who knows? It's Jumanji, baby.
Also, don't check the box that says, do you want this doll to become life-size when you're not around and take your kid on adventures? Don't do it. It seems like a good idea.
Seems like fun, but no. They're going to teach them about drugs. Justin, I demand you buy a haunted doll, and I demand that you start reviewing haunted dolls on YouTube.
Haunted doll. I have one haunted doll to talk to you guys about this week. This week's haunted doll in Haunted Doll Watch is listed under Haunted Spirits Doll Caution on EMF Meter, Paranormal, Magic, Wiccan, Pagan. I'm looking at a picture of a doll
touchstones
with an EMF meter next to it that says Caution. Now, it's not danger, this creepy porcelain doll, but it is Caution on the EMF meter.
A spirit,
which of course, measures spirit energy.
There's a spirit inside, but it may not try to kill your kids, is what you're saying.
It may be cool.
I have there just in the description here to talk about this particular spirit doll. Apparently, this question asker is getting a lot of flack about having a doll that was a caution on the EMF meter. And this particular haunted doll owner writes, "I've been asked about spirit dolls that are listed as danger. Madame Christine never," underlined, "adopted a spirit that was demonic. She would never expose her other spirit vessels to that. She had a way of knowing if there were trouble, and she would not bring them into her home. All of the dolls, etc., that are sold by me are of the white light, and they will never hurt a living soul.
Wow. Wait.
They get along with other spirit children, and if they are labeled danger by Madame Christine's notes, that is because they were little troublemakers of some sort, or downright brats. Most of her spirit dolls are safe, but there are a few that were considered caution or danger, but not dangerous."
So these are like your super chill, like totally lax, like haunted doll. Not like your Chucky's. These aren't like serial killer. These are the ones that like maybe they just are going to like hang out with you and say like witty things, I guess.
Yes, as long as you're of the white light, this child is going to get along with you just fine. And you can buy it now for $125.
What?
Or make a bid at $55. You would be the first.
I have something to say really quick. I have an apology to make. Usually at this point in the show, I would do a sad lib. But
there, don't but encourage him. There's nothing funny about it whatsoever.
We have sustained the elder gods to a point where we can manifest our own will in the material plane. So because of that power, we have eradicated it from existence. You're welcome, everybody.
But I want to apologize because in the holiday hustle and bustle, I ran out of time. We'll edit this out, right?
Yeah, yes, sure.
Okay. And I apologize because I did not write one.
Really?
I just wanted to let you know. So now we may move on.
You know that we had like a super long time to prep stuff, and you could have done it during the time where we were upstairs eating Subway. You could have like sat down, done a tweet.
Do you know how much time goes into creating a sad lib?
Like 4 minutes. Like
4 minutes? I saw it. Yeah. I've seen it before.
I did not have.
That one's unplugged, so I don't know what's going on.
And that one's inflated. Wait, hold on.
And that one's riding a sweet jet ski. God, if you're not here, guys, you're just not going to get a lot of the stuff that's going on. Travis, what are you doing?
It looks like there's something in the stocking.
It looks like there's something in the stocking, you say.
Oh no! Oh no!
Thank you. You're doing the Lord's work out there.
Wait. It says here that you guys helped with this a little bit?
We did, Merry Candle Nights. Fun game for the audience. Listen and see if you can pick out what words Justin and I submitted to this horrible, horrible bit that has never worked. 231 episodes. Go for Travis.
"'Twas the shunt before Candle Nights, when all through the gulp. Not a corn maze was spelunking, not even a bum. The dumpos were hung by the commode with nougat. And the hopes that Corn Cob Boy soon would be there."
Travis, you're going to have to slow down for laughter.
Okay.
So you got to pause for applause, baby.
"The dirigibles were nestled all snug in their butt kiss.
I get it.
While visions of Quasimodo danced in their butts.
That was a good one.
And Mama in her buttress, and I in my front butt.
Are you guys eight?
Had just settled...
had just settled our belch for a long winter squeegee. When out on the flugelhorn, there arose such a jackanape. I sprang from my jello to see what was the matter. Away to the imbroglio, I flew like a skeet. Tore open the Chattanoogan and threw open the McLobster. When what to my wondering razzle-dazzle did appear but a miniature griffin and eight tiny jortsmen. With a little old
wormy. It's a long one, huh?
With a little old wormy so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he must be St. Moist.
Stop
it! Now Randy,
it.
Now Zebra, now Humdrum, now Astral. On Chrysanthemum, on Reiterate, on Capitulate.
How much should we charge for tickets? Do you remember?
Too much.
He was dressed all in pumpernickel from his head to his foot.
Oh, right.
And his pianists were all tarnished with ashes and soot. His farts, how they twinkled.
Oh my God.
His Teflon, how merry. His cheeks were like Constantinople. His nose like a scrumdiddlyumptious. He was chubby and plump. A right jolly old smackdown. And I puked when I saw him in spite of myself.
And laying his mollycoddle
aside of his front butt.
Front butt twice. Good work, job, wordsmiths.
And giving in, I'm so sorry. Up the dead Travis he rose. I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight. Merry Candlenights to all. And to all, a good worst thing that happens in the podcast.
Let's like just
if you
go
have a song
stuck
in your head, by the way, just try to get it out. Get over it. Go on. Okay, Deuce.
Listen to the song. Actually, listen to the song. That's what did it for me. You have to listen because if you get halfway through something, that's when it gets stuck. So you have to like finish it.
Yep.
And then stop listening to it instead of midstream because your brain gets hung up on things that are unfinished. And it wants to complete the loop. There's a lot of game design based around that. Anyway, I'm just a bachelor. Okay. Looking for a partner.
Beautiful. Right. I'm loving it so far. This is very romantic.
Yeah. So far, this is good. Someone who knows how to ride without even falling off.
Maybe well, he literally are you, means horseback riding.
Hold on. Are you having a problem with people falling off of your pee-pee during sex?
Because she's really bad at riding. She
or
keeps
you're
injuring
very,
herself.
Are you bucking down there? What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm
very slippery.
I'm very slippery.
I'm not a sex time like master, but I you don't buck.
Nobody falls. Gotta be compatible. Takes me to my limits.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, when I break you off, I promise that you won't want to get off. Mm-hmm. All right. You're starting to confuse some of your okay, but then he, just before you can like contemplate that line, he gets like, in case you've been somehow confused by the layers
is
of
it horses or is it
illusion?
Fucking?
Right. Is it horses or is it fucking? Genuine dispels any of that lingering doubt by saying, if you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony.
But he could be being very obtuse there, and he could be just speaking poetically. If you're super horny to ride a horse, that's me. Like basically every day, I'm super horny to ride a horse.
Mm-hmm. In the more general parlance, not the specific, not the literal horny, but the new vernacular horny. Like I'm really horny to try this burger.
Yeah,
like,
I'm horny.
Great,
I'm
I don't
want to
fuck
horny.
This burger.
Right, no one would want to fuck a burger. And,
but I
and
will.
I will if you need me to.
If I have
if
to.
If it's going
to
get me this job, I'll, yeah, sure. Listen, I'm going to be devil's advocate
here.
That's
what it's going to take to sell you this car.
I'm going to be devil's advocate here because I feel like people have oversexed this song way too much. And I am still unconvinced it's not about horses.
What a pretty fun interpretation of this song is that Genuine has never had sex in his life and doesn't know the things that happen in it. So he imagines that maybe falling off is a problem, or maybe someone gets broken off at a certain point.
Or like if it's not compatible because like yours is kind of shaped like this and hers is kind of shaped like that. It's like, well, I'm not going to fit in there.
Some people have
it's a
duck
square
penis.
Hole, round peg.
I don't know.
What do you say before you do it? Probably something like really direct. Like if you're horny, let's do it. Do you think that's how people have sex together? Like they say that?
I can't think of literally any other introduction to the act.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to kiss your butt. You're going to kiss my butt?
Because that's then, is that what you
gonna pinch your elbows now? What I don't think. And then he thinks saddles are involved. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. Now here's where I think my theory is reinforced. In the next section of Genuine's Pony, he has completely exhausted any like imagined sexual prowess that he has, and says the lines, "Sitting here flossing, peeping your stilo."
He's
sitting here flossing.
Yeah, he knows about oral hygiene. He's got a fucking amazing smile, so I'm not so surprised about that.
Peeping your
Steelix. He's looking over their Pokemon collection. So, like, yes, I'm on board.
Is it possible he's so deep into pony play that when he says, like, you're falling off and, like, my saddle is ready, he's being literal. Like, if you want to do this, put a saddle on me, ride me around the apartment.
We'll do a horseback ride. Fall off. And then 9 months later, you'll poop a baby out of your butt, I think.
Yeah.
Why there is no beef nuggets. But chicken nuggets. So the whole sentence. Why there is no beef nuggets, but chicken nuggets. Let me try and fix this. Let me take my red pen to this. Why there is no beef nuggets, but chicken nuggets is.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's a good
chicken,
edit.
Chicken nuggets is, but beef nuggets isn't.
Yeah. Why am this?
Why that is.
Why that is. Just move that is over. Palabra jot. You got it. Just pick it up, drop it in the middle of a sentence. Nailed it.
Thank you, Ghostwriter. Why there is no beef nuggets, though, for real, because I read this question. I was like, dumb. And I was like, wait. And I was like, wait a minute. And I was like,
There has to be a lab somewhere where, like, the scientists at McDonald's are like, we've tried everything. We've come at it from every angle.
They got a good point, though. There ain't no beef nugs. There ain't no pork nugs. There's beef jerky, I guess. But that's, like, super dry beef. That's, like, a different type of thing. And, you know, Jack Lynx is on that nugget game now. And they are nuggeting it so right. But I want to see it have more mainstream soft beef appeal. Mabim Bam's got that soft beef appeal. But can we get that soft beef appeal?
You can have a chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
So why don't you have chicken fried steak nugs?
Give me those steak nugs. You know Guy Fieri's fucked with some nugs, though. You know he's nugged basically everything at this point.
If you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean. Oh, 420.
420, blaze it. Beef nugs.
Is it because it's... takes longer to cook? Is that like, is it a scientific problem? I think beef nugs would be good.
I think beef nugs would be pretty tight. You dip
them in. I'm kind of hungry for beef nugs.
Yeah. I'm kind of into beef nugs, and it makes me sad because it's very rare that I get hungry for food that doesn't exist. Usually, most of my hunger pangs are tied to extant items.
You try to keep it to the corporeal world.
I try to keep it to the material realm. But the problem is,
I crave materia. Like,
the specific everlasting gobstopper from the movie.
Oh, dog!
Remember
fucking
how that
forget
thing
about.
Looked?
Oh,
like weird, colorful candies jutting out. Not like the fake ass jawbreakers that they tried to market and sell. And you stamp it, and you put it on a lunchbox, and you put it out there. Like not that.
No, you're talking about a tasty, fruity asterisk, which is what they're selling there. Yeah, I would party on that. I would. My mouth would have a lot of fun with that thing. Why are there no motherfucking beef nuggets? Now I'm moving on to the third phase where I'm just angry that there aren't any beef nugs.
I think the fourth phase is negotiation and the last phase is beef nugs.
And then I go out and I acquire the materials needed for nugs.
There has to be a reason, right? Like this has to be a thing. Have we done any research to see if like in 1960 McDonald's had like McBeef nuggets?
What would you dip them in? A1, right? Easy A1. Answer. I mean, fuck, we've already got, answer. We have everything. It's not like somebody's like cracking away at a chalkboard trying to like connect the molecules needed to form this shit. We all know this shit. It's obvious, but everybody's too fucking afraid to do it.
Not Obama.
Last do day what in needs office. Be done. Supreme judgment. That's the fourth midnight amendment.
Oh, no, that was the third. And then fourth is nice.
Nice. We did it.
not to put you completely in the right. Right. Like, you probably should have said something when your burger came from a, not only a different animal, but a completely different, like,
that aversion genius. To confrontation is pathological enough that they probably suspected something nefarious was going
right.
on. In addition to that, wait a minute. So he just did it? He just ate it? That doesn't make any sense.
He There's didn't say anything?
He no, literally, nothing? You literally ate the opposite meat. It's the opposite meat. Here's the spectrum of meat. And beef is on one end and salmon's on the other. There's no, how goddamn delicious must that salmon burger have been that it completely removed you from your senses?
Also, and, question asker, in the future, don't convince yourself that maybe this is what I ordered. that's very sad to me.
The scam. The scam they're running, that's a psychic scam they're running on themselves. They took one bite of that. The first thought was, this isn't what I ordered. And then it was so succulent. Mm. They thought, well,
salmon.
Maybe I did.
The beef of the sea.
I must have ordered it. Knowing me, I always pick the best thing at a restaurant. I'm sure I've ordered this.
Well, okay, now to jump back to the restaurant being the worst, the sheer balls of the restaurant to say, like, hey, we brought you the wrong thing. But fuck you.
But you shouldn't. Okay, I gotta say, my position's changing a little bit because you should not have eaten that burger, sir.
What? Yeah, but okay, he didn't walk up to the counter and grab it and say, this is probably mine. It was handed to him.
But okay, but to Griffin's point, he should peel back the onion a little bit. He got the wrong thing, ate it, and then watched him carry his trash around the restaurant and didn't even give her a flag down. I think that maybe as a result of his carelessness, they did waste a meal.
Toby's double burger is not made of burgers. They serve them, but the building itself needs money concrete.
But to put it in a different context, right? Say he orders a cheeseburger, right? Mm-hmm. They bring out a burger, no cheese.
Hey, just Travis, like, oh, they forgot that is the biggest false equivalent. We've had some doozers in the false equivalents category on this show. That's the biggest one. Yeah, it's like a cheeseburger, but without cheese or meat, and also fish is in it.
No, I'm just saying that, like, the idea of, like, where does it end? Because they bring out that burger, and then they bring out another burger, and it's like, oh, that one was supposed to be mine, but they brought me this one. They're not going to ask for your money in that way. Is it just because it was the complete wrong protein? That it's like, oh, you fucked up so bad.
If these motherfuckers brought him a basket of boneless chicken wings instead of his burger, and he eats all the chicken wings and said, oops, didn't even realize it's a whole different food kingdom, but those are free now because they're in me. That's kind of busted, I think.
All you have to say is, what chicken wings?
It's a perfect crime.
Prove it. Well, you're a sloppy boy. It's all over your face. You're a sloppy boy.
You got burn mouth. I didn't even consider the possibility that maybe it's somebody else's food and you just stole it from them.
I want to triple back on this again and say that I've switched culpability in my mind from this person to the restaurant for offering something called a salmon burger. No, it's not. It's salmon on bread. Fuck you. A burger has beef and maybe ground turkey. I would hit you up there. A salmon burger is not a thing. That's like a wish broom. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
What?
You know.
It's like a wish broom. Like, okay, for what? Those two things don't go together.
For sleeping out the old wishes.
It's a dog. It's a dog tank. It's a tank that your dog lives in.
These are they're banana glasses. Glasses for a banana. Why would you even give a banana glass? That doesn't make any sense. That's about as stupid as a salmon burger.
Yeah.
Is the question... does anybody here know someone that is nicknamed Gazpacho?
Well, you do now.
The top answer is from Spanky Gazpacho. He says, I see Gazpacho, that is that cold, emotionless, acidic, tomato-based soupy guy, Gazzy, that got all suspended by Yamster on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously a beaten-up individual bruised by years of haunting, not... like a sweet, juicy, dribbling tropical mango man, smothered with affection from caring and giving strangers who have taken him under their wing. A truly one-sided affair for which he is overwhelmingly the person who takes the benefit of others' selflessness. What?
Wait, is this motherfucker just like a prophet for mangoes?
I think this motherfucker is an artificial intelligence who is very slowly... and surprisingly sensually becoming self-aware.
Are you telling me right now
that Spanky Gazpacho was created
in a laboratory. Absolutely.
In a lab. Okay, I buy it.
Is it possible that the deal is that Spanky Gazpacho represents everything that's wrong with humanity? And he realizes, or she realizes, that Mango Boy, or whatever they said was the other person, is all the good, right? And while they're in a constant luck struggle with their icy nature versus the juicy nature, Spanky Gazpacho also realizes the beauty and wonder that is Mango and wishes they could just be closer to them, but knows that their yin and yang like structure stops them from ever actually consummating the relationship.
That was, Travis, the fucking craziest thing you've ever said.
We have done this podcast for 242
and episodes. You literally just created a goddamn bonkers religion around some whack Yahoo Answers shit that you just found.
I'm just saying that it's easy for us to judge when we don't know the whole story.
But you know, Travis, I was having a dissociative episode while you were talking because I was so unable to process the words coming out of your mouth.
Well,
this podcast is now officially this episode. I thought we had some pretty good stuff. Adam Levine goofs, I'm into it. Now it's The Ring. And if you listen to it, you die 7 days.
Well, you know
because what you said was so fucking weird.
You know what? History will prove one of us right and one of us wrong, Justin.
Yeah.
And
one of us insane. It's going to prove you right because Justin's going to be fucking dead. And so am I. Right. And so is our millions of listeners, unless they get somebody else to listen to our podcast.
But not me, because Mango will have welcomed me into their arms and taken me away from this gazpacho-y planet. Cold and icy human beings.
This is great viral marketing, I guess, unless all of our listeners die, in which case it's bad viral marketing.
Oh, we have one more money zone from the Mango Council.
Oh, Christ.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to My Brother, and Me.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.